Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic.
It is my pleasure to welcome multiple guests, John Reif, back to the podcast. Welcome back, John.
Thanks, James.
So, John, those that may not be familiar with you, you are an author, a speaker, an authority in maintenance and reliability and asset management. You know, you've written books like Failure Modes to Failure Codes and a variety of others. Although a very brief introduction, what can you tell us about yourself and what do you want to fill in the blanks about?
I started software consulting in way back in 1987. And then 10 years later, switched to Maximo with the same company. And then I became more interested in industry best practices in 2005. Maybe 10 years after that, makes it 2015, I got the CRL accreditation, which I believe rapidly advanced my interest in asset management. And so I've been making presentations ever since that, the best practices emphasis, and been doing that for several years.
All right, excellent. And you've been involved in, you know, maintenance, reliability, planning, and scheduling for a tremendous amount of time. How long do you want to say you've been involved in maintenance reliability?
Well, since 2000, yeah.
All right, excellent. So one of the things you talk about often in many of your LinkedIn posts is work order management. So what is work order management in your words?
Well, it could mean different things to different people. I might call it an umbrella process within the software, the CMMS product, and it's a key part of asset management. When you're designing or setting up the CMMS, it would be a good idea to link that to the reliability engineering side of things, so that you can actually design it to extract knowledge. But coming back to the question, what is work order management? It pertains to work order tracking from initiation to job completion. There's different types of work. There can be corrective or preventive maintenance. And there's also technologies that help you identify defects, which I might call condition-based technologies, such as infrared and vibration analysis. And then you can also have capital or project work. The important point is the work order is the official record, and it should be used to capture all costs as well as failure history. And some organizations do a better job at that than others. Work orders can be planned and or scheduled, but not everything has to be planned. If it's a minor maintenance job, it could be what we call skill of the craft, which means the senior craft lead could determine what's required without having a formal job plan written. But when there is formal planning, there are definite advantages to having a definitive scope in place, because it provides clear job instructions as well as the estimated craft and specialized tools and ideally parts. So the planning step identifies potential hazards and precautions. So this is where job safety comes in. Moving on, the work order can have a priority, and that would be used to manage the backlog. But even before that, it could be used to identify something that's urgent and emergency that you need to jump on straight away. So with the prioritization process, you can have a planning backlog. So if you have planners and they have work or orders sitting out there, they need to know which one to attack first. It may not just be first in, first out, right? And the scheduler can have a scheduling backlog. And so you've got two backlogs there, right? And from a maintenance supervisor standpoint, ideally there's a weekly schedule, and then he takes that and creates the daily plan. And the daily plan identifies what work goes to what workers on what day. And hopefully they identify that the evening prior. And so the onus is on the supervisor to definitely know his people, to match the right skill to the right job. Now, the hard part starts now. So the job is being performed. The worker is performing the job. It could be a quick job, so he's in and out. Or it could be a job that goes multiple shifts. Now, it's important that the worker provide daily status or shift status back to the supervisor, so that the supervisor can prepare the job, the daily plan for the next day if there's carryover work. Communication, the status updates provide that communication, but there's also something called work order feedback. So at the end of the job, there's different types of feedback that can occur. And so some examples of that would be maintainability, job safety steps that were missing, and energy efficiency suggestions, design flaws, so things of that type. Or you could say that, you know, the work plan on the PM was missing some steps, and it's the wrong frequency. So you'd be surprised what the technicians might have to offer as advice, but you need to ask them. And so that's communication, and that's work order management.
All right, excellent. So it encompasses a wide amount of things. You know, it's the work control, making sure we're doing the right work, planning, scheduling that work, coordinating those resources, doing all that stuff. Now, you mentioned a few reasons why organizations may need it, but why do we really need that? Is it just for improved efficiency, or are there other benefits?
If you have a large backlog, it's very important to know what work you need to do first to minimize risk, to keep the plant in operation, right? So that's critical. In terms of capturing the actuals, if you don't capture the actual labor hours and the parts issued, and the maybe there's a purchase process that procures materials, special materials that weren't in the warehouse, all of those are actual costs. And if you do not capture that, then you will be missing the life cycle costs on the asset, and that's going to hurt you down the road. Another reason for capturing costs is, or parts issue, that is, this with some products, it automatically creates the spare part list. So I'll try to explain this. So if a work order is written and the job is performed and the technician takes a part from the warehouse, that's an issue. And so the moment the part is issued to the work order should be linked to an asset, and then therefore the software can make a link from the part to the asset, automatically creating the spare part list. There's one more benefit of capturing the actual part issues. And in the item master table, you can have what we call a commodity code that defines that part generically at a higher level, and that could become your component, your failed component list library, and we can talk more about that later.
So we have all these benefits, but how do organizations really know how a work management system will function? Do they have to like just map it out in theory, then try it, or does that theory always equate to what we're going to see? How do they know it's going to function to what they want?
There's a lot of variables here. It depends upon the organization size, the number of technicians, obviously. Maybe they don't even have planners, let alone schedulers. If it's a medium-sized organization, that's typically when you need to have a CMMS tool, and that helps you determine or track work orders that are in the backlog, track work orders that are being executed, so that they're following the right job steps in the right order. And then on completion, We're capturing the actual costs. So that's why they need it. As to how they should set it up, well, the organizations do this differently. They can go alone. They can bring in software consultants to get guidance, that the software consultants help them implement the software, perhaps. Or thirdly, they might bring in an industry best practice expert to provide some valuable experience on optimizing best practices.
All right, excellent. So we're going to rely on a variety of things. We may rely on those experts. We may rely upon, you know, a variety of factors within our organization. Now, not every organization is going to perform work order management the same way. So what are some of the ways you see work order management performed?
Yes. Okay. You know, I've done some presentations or WebExes in the past, and I'm discussing maybe an advanced process, and suddenly someone in the audience will speak up and say, well, we can't do that. We don't have that staff. We're not as that big. We're a small organization. We're missing some key roles. We don't have a reliability engineer. We don't have a planner. So how are we supposed to do these things? And that's a valid question. And when I heard that for the first time, I really had to stop and think. And so I made up a little graphic that I'll try to explain. And so depending upon the staff you have, you have to be creative as to what objectives, what processes you want to try to put in place. Like if you do not have a formal warehouse, well, you're going to struggle to capture parts linked to the work order. Now, there's a lot of negatives there, but it is what it is, right? If you don't have planners, you will most likely not be able to formally plan work orders. Of course, supervisors will plan stuff in their head, but the formal planning is what's significant. So I labeled this as six possible processes, A, B, C, D, E, F. Okay. And the letter A, let's say it's a small organization and they simply want to make work order records. And that's all they're going to do. They have a maintenance manager, yeah, and they have some technicians. And that is the extent of how they plan to use the CMMS product. Okay. Letter B. We now have an asset manager. So this is a specialized role that understands asset management and maybe has a long-range plan on the office wall, but realizes we don't have the right staff yet. So he can only dream about what he'd like to do. But I'm going to say for this letter B, they can implement a PM program with the staff that they have. Okay, they will draw on his knowledge to help them put that in place. Letter C, we now have a planner slash scheduler position. And let's say we have the HSC guy involved in the work order management process. Okay, so now we can identify detailed job steps for those PMs. We can identify parts for those PMs and a safety hazard and precautions. All right. Letter D, or this is option four. So now we've got, what do we have different here? Well, let's say they have the same staff, but now they're focusing on prioritization of work orders. Not every organization, James, is putting a priority on their work. And unfortunately, that makes it difficult to determine what work should be done next out of the backlog. And of course, that affects the scheduling. So now if you put priority on the work orders, then you can have a planning backlog and a scheduling backlog, and they're good to go. Now the fifth one, letter E, we've got a gatekeeper role. That might be called different titles, different names within other organizations, but I call it a gatekeeper. This person takes an early look at the work order right after it's been created and make sure it's linked to the right asset location and has the prioritization in place and the right work type, etc. We also would have a planner and a scheduler in this letter E option. And and a reliability engineer. So now we're getting the staff in place to enable us to do many things. So we can perform backlog management, we can capture failure mode on work order entry, and we can capture proper work order feedback. Okay. And the sixth category is we've got all of the key positions filled, and I'm looking across my chart here. We now have a reliability team in addition to the reliability engineer, and so we can perform chronic failure analysis and also defect elimination and root cause analysis. So there you go. That's how I broke it into six possible utilization process design. And it depends really on the staff they have. And of course, they have to have a vision.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out Iridicio's IBL Blended Learning for Maintenance and Reliability Professionals. This SMRP-accredited project-based curriculum will take you through all aspects of a maintenance and reliability program and provides you with all the tools you need to generate a 30 times return on investment for your organization and a set of credentials from the University of Tennessee for you. You can find out more at ibltraining.com.
All right. So with all those different methods, what are some of the pros and cons of any methods? Now, it's a lot to go through the pros and cons for each one, but what might be some significant pros or cons that you would see across them all?
Well, I believe very much in failure analysis, and I put it in the number one. So if you ask me the question, what is the greatest potential return on investment by implementing a particular advanced process within the asset management system, I'm going to quickly say a chronic failure analysis. A close but distant second, this is my personal opinion though, is the scheduling, planning and scheduling part of it. So that's important, but the bang for the buck is really with the chronic failure analysis, where up to 40 to 50% of all potential O&M costs are linked to. And if you can identify those worst offenders and focus on the bad actors, you can start eliminating those from recurring over and over again and save a bundle of money.
So if we have a good work order management process, we're able to capture those failure codes, capture the time and cost we're spending on different assets, then utilize the defect elimination or root cause analysis process to investigate those, identify the true causes, eliminate those so we don't have to deal with them again.
You know, if you don't have the staffing right away, at least you can do is start capturing the failure codes. And when you do get that reliability engineer someday, you will have the data for him to go back and historically analyze.
Yes, absolutely. Now, what are some of, and you mentioned the close second being the planning and scheduling process. Now, if we go back to, you know, some of the first methods you mentioned, A, B, C, are we really getting the benefit of the planning and scheduling out of those? And what are those benefits we would see from planning and scheduling?
You've got to have the formal position in place, whether it's one person with a combined planner-scheduler role or two people where it's a planner and a scheduler, and ideally multiple planners. So that's important. And then you need to have a very good prioritization documentation. What are the rules for prioritizing work? You've got to have a good asset registry. I mean, all the assets need to be in the system. Sometimes it's not always the case. You've got to have you've got to have work types that are mutually exclusive. And you've got to have reports that are help you trend the size and growth of the backlog so you know where you are at any given moment. Wouldn't it be great if you could run an analytical report, maybe a graphic, that would show you the size, make this a pie chart, and by craft estimate, it would show you which craft has the largest amount of work on it. And then maybe the maintenance manager would look at that and say, well, okay, you know, we need to hire another technician. Should I get a mechanic or electrician or whatever? And that could give him some insight there.
Yeah, that would be nice to be able to have that at our fingertips, wouldn't it? So why are there so many different ways work order management can be performed? Why is there so many ways? Why isn't it just one or two ways? Why do we have six?
Well, you know, you don't know what you don't know. So external benchmarking is a process that every organization should perform whether it's internal or external, they should perform a ongoing search for knowledge, continuous improvement. You're looking for ideas to add efficiency to the process, make job execution safer, improve craft productivity, workforce productivity, and most importantly, to capture the failure data. So it comes back to the staff. You could have the staff, but they're not trained. You could have the staff and they are trained, or you don't have the staff. So 1, 2, 3. The staff is essential, but the management still has to have the vision for defining the end game to describe where they want to end up. With all those variables, that's why there's so many different ways of doing it. And I'm not going to say any given process is right or wrong. It's just, let me say it this way. It's sad when I discover an organization that has all of the right individuals and the right skill sets in place, but they are not optimizing the process. That's an important point.
Yeah, I think that's critical there. There's many, many methods out there that, you know, they're doing all the things we talked about somewhat okay. There's lots of opportunities to drive improvements, but they haven't taken the time to do so. And it's disappointing when you see that. But with that being said, what can organizations do to optimize and improve their current work management system?
Well, again, perform the benchmarking. You could go visit another company in town. They may or may not be using the same software, but you might be surprised what you see. So you can attend user forums. You can do research on the internet nowadays, and there's a lot of good information out there. You can become certified in reliability, maintenance and reliability. And I would, my best advice to any of the software professionals is to take an interest in the theory. Take an interest in asset management as a philosophy, and you might be surprised how well you can improve your system.
Absolutely. There's a piece where I talk to clients and others around, you know, define your process and make sure the software fits your process. You can't just adopt a standard process from a system because that may not meet the needs of your business and your current setup in terms of people and all those other things. But it's hard to do that if you don't have an understanding of the theory behind it. So with all that said, what is the one thing you hope work order management would bring to organizations if they embraced it and optimized it?
Well, again, my favorite topic, failure analysis. And failure analysis needs work order data, the failure data. If they would start capturing that, you could do so many wonderful things. But leadership needs to decide up front. They need to understand the value in capturing that type of data and create what I call a CMMS utilization plan, perhaps. Unfortunately, James, sometimes I run into organizations that simply say, you know what, the software will never be good enough to capture failure data. So I don't quite understand that statement, but I do hear it. Now, the next point to make is, okay, well, we struggle with data quality. We capture failure data, but when we stand back and look at it, it's really a poor quality. Well, if that's an ongoing problem, you need to sit down with the supervisors and foremen and lead and managers and talk about what are the ways we can improve the data quality. And there are a number of ways. The gatekeeper role is one way. Making sure that the drop-down lists are as good as they can be. Sometimes you mandate the fields to be captured based upon status of a job, such as completion. You might have a maintenance engineer or a reliability engineer, and they would focus on critical assets. So whenever a work order is written on a critical asset, they will take the time in their day to go validate that data. So that's another way to improve data accuracy. There can be a core team that takes an interest in running error checks, proactive error checks. And sometimes that helps identify a recurring problem by one or more individuals, and you can train them separately, not to embarrass them, but to get them on board. I like to believe that people generally want to do the right thing, and so I just need to give them some better training.
Excellent. Now, if you had that magic wand, what is the one thing you would change in regards to how they manage an organization? Not just the training, but what would you change in how they do it? Is it a gatekeeper role? Is it capturing the right failure data? What is that one thing you could just wave a wand at and fix?
Well, starting at the back end of the answer, wouldn't it be great if I can extract a top 10 report of bad actors right now? Whatever software you have, whatever database it is, however big or small the organization is, you've got work orders, you have work order history. I'm going to run a report. I'm going to push a button right now, and out will come the top 10 bad actors based on some criteria, right? And then wouldn't it be great if I can pick the number one asset on that list and drill down on the failure mode? And the failure mode consists of the three pieces. It has the fail component, the component problem, and the cause code. That is a wealth of information to help the reliability team or reliability leaders prevent that problem from recurring again, and they can take the correct action to remedy.
That would be nice if we had that ability to easily do that. Top 10 bad actors, drill into the failure mode, then we can really start to eliminate those issues and move forward as opposed to trying to chase these same things over and over and over. Now, what is the one action you want our listeners to take away from the conversation today? What is the one thing that they can go do differently tomorrow or next week in regards to improving their work order management system?
I was talking with Terrence O'Hanlon a couple months ago, and he said something that caught me off guard, which is reliability leaders, whomever they might be at the site, if you have a staffing problem like we've mentioned a little bit ago, perhaps you should talk to your management and more specifically the HR department. The HR department. Strike up a conversation. Now, before you walk in that room, you're going to discuss, we're missing a role. The role would be this job. It would have this title. It would perform these functions. You need to get your thoughts in order. You might need to write up a job specification and make it very clearly worded that it performs the tasks and roles that are missing right now to help you advance asset management. So have your ducks in a row. But in summary, go see the HR department and suggest a new role to help advance asset management at your facility.
That is a pretty good action for our listeners to take away from. Now, John, you share a lot of knowledge with the community. You're more than happy to write articles, presentations, all that stuff. Where can people find out more about you to learn more about this? Is it just LinkedIn? Where do you want people to find out and connect with you at?
Well, LinkedIn is pretty powerful. I make posts there once every 5 or 6 days, and I share everything I know going back 3 decades. But I am presenting at Maximo World 2019 in the first week in August in Orlando, and it's a 3-hour short course titled Demanding Excellence from Your CMMS, or Asset Management System, rather. And that's also the name of my brand new book that's going to be released at that venue with the same exact title. So that's what's upcoming.
All right, excellent. Now, John, you mentioned you've identified the 5 ways to perform work order management. Is there a LinkedIn post with a graphic that people can go look at to connect some of these a bit more?
Well, yes, I was actually reading off of that graphic on my desk here as we were talking. And there's a post, maybe 3 weeks old now, but it looks like a green pyramid, and it's titled, Do You Have the Staff to Do What You Require? And I don't think anyone else has ever talked about this before, and so I think it's an important topic, and I'm sure glad that you decided to bring it up for this podcast. Thanks, James.
All right, excellent. Well, I will make sure to put a link to that, link to your books, link to all the stuff that you share with us so people can easily find it, get in touch with you, learn more from. So with that, John, I want to thank you for taking the time today to talk to us and share with us your knowledge on work order management. Definitely provided some new perspectives on the different ways and why some people approach those or utilize those ways. I think it was eye-opening. So thank you.
Thank you, James. It's always a pleasure.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.